Hello everyone, this is Dr. Sudhimohan Dadas, the co-founder and managing director of iFirst International. Today we have in our program a very esteemed person I've known for a very long time, Dr. Kribanandan, who is the secretary for Spina Bifida or Association Malaysia, or it's referred to as SIBM. Welcome, Kriban.
Thank you.
We have a session today, and we're going to be talking for the next 15 minutes about something very particular about your organization. And I'm not so sure everybody knows about what this means, Spina Bifida, and what it all is all about. So maybe, Kriban, you'd like to just share with us a little bit about your organization and give us some account about why you decided to, you know, be involved with this organization. So let's start with first about, just tell us about the organization.
Right. Well, the Spina Bifida Association of Malaysia was set up in 2007, some 12 years ago, and basically to bring to the attention the particular problem of Spina Bifida in the country, and also provide a basis or a platform for people to provide to obtain assistance in this particular area. Maybe I should just say a little bit about what Spina Bifida is.
Yes, itself. I think that's,
yeah. To start with. It's actually a neural tube defect. It happens during the early stages of pregnancy. And what happens is basically it's a malformation of your spinal cord. It doesn't close. Because of the lesion in the spinal cord, you have varying degrees of damage to the nerve cords and nerve endings in the spine.
This is to the child?
Is that during the first 4 weeks of pregnancy? That means, you know, during the very early stages of pregnancy, this happens, and there are very varying degrees of the problem, I think basically three levels of the problem have been identified, referred to as occulta is the most basic form, where the spine itself is not totally open, but there are some damage to the lesions or to the spinal cord, and this creates certain issues with the child. And then you have another more difficult form or higher form called myelomalignancy, where the spine is actually open, and because of that, you know, you have damage to the cords. And then a third version, which is called myelomalignancy, which has a much more difficult situation, in the sense that it's an open where your spinal cords are actually outside of the spinal column, and therefore the effects are much more serious. So children with these effects have various degrees of malformation, particularly affecting their lower limbs, and often also the bladder and bowels, and these can lead to all kinds of other neurological, you know, issues as they grow up.
So in essence, we have an organization here in Malaysia, and you said it started when?
In 2007.
Is this an international body, or is this a very much a local organization?
Well, SIBM itself is a locally based association, but we are linked with an international federation. It's called the International Federation for Spina Bifida and Hydrocephalus, based in Europe. And we are registered members. They have members from all over the world, and so we get information and share our information with them. But SIBM itself is locally formed. It's we are based in Malaysia, and we are in the process of setting up our, if you like, branches and chapters elsewhere in the country. At the moment, we are very strong in the Klang Valley. About a year or so ago, we had an interesting get-together and conference, in fact, in Kuantan, which then incorporated our connections in the East Coast. And we're doing something similar now in the North. There will be a conference in this coming November, on 16th of November in Sungai Petani, where we are hoping to connect with SB families in the North. And then, you know, there will be others which we'll be doing, you know, maybe in the south in Johor as well. So basically, it's a national organization based currently in the Klang Valley, and we are extending as we can with, you know, where the incidence of SB is high, particularly as we've realized in the East Coast, it's quite high. And we are given to understand that in Sabah and Sarawak as well, it can be quite high, the incidence of SB in those states.
So obviously you would have done a lot of work and trying to assess what's happening in the whole country. But how did you get involved in this particular organization?
Yeah, actually that's a good point. As often with these cases, I mean, I didn't know anything about spina bifida. It hadn't come to my notice at all. And then about going back some 10 years now, sometime in 2010, maybe about 9 years ago, in fact, we had one of our regular Rotary Club meetings, which I'm a member of Rotary Club of Damansara. As we often do every week, we invite some speakers. And in one of those occasions, one of our members invited two ladies who were running this organization, Spina Bifida Association of Malaysia, to come and speak to us. And it was a 15-minute presentation, and I think, you know, I was very moved by the presentation. I was surprised I'd not known of such a serious condition. So got personally involved after that. You know, I just communicated with these ladies. They are still, you know, involved very much. Dr. Yang, who's the chairperson, and Dr. Amara, who is a professor. In fact, Professor Amara, who is a rehab physician in local hospital in KL. With that connection, I got quite involved, that's how it started, really. And then we then made the association between Sibiam as well as the Rotary Club of Damansara. And in fact, we have now taken that to another level in the last year or so, where we are making the connection between Sibiam and the Rotary movement nationally in the country. And that's something maybe I can talk to you about a bit later. But yeah, that's how the connection started.
Excellent. And I guess, so you can consider Sibiam a relatively young organization. What are the current challenges and you know, issues that your organization is facing, especially now that you've been there for a while?
Yeah, like I think like all organizations, NGOs, I suppose the key thing is that we are working with volunteers. So of course, you know, it's only in the last 6 months or so where we've actually got a part-time person paid to help, and that has helped a lot. But of course, all of this is predicated on funding. So of course, that's something which is a big challenge, trying to get sustainable and regular funding to take up some of these issues. And you know, the point is that some of the big challenges with the SB care is that you require a multidisciplinary approach, because, you know, as soon as the child is born, you need to operate to close the spine. Then often the kids, those with the most serious cases of SB, may also have hydrocephalus, which means that you have to put a shunt from their brain to drain water. And all of this has to be regularly monitored. And because of the disabilities, as the child grows up, they will need inputs in terms of catheterization because of their bladder problems. Because of the movement issues and limb problems, they will probably need some kind of physical aid. And all of this is expensive. You know, for example, with the young children, because of bladder issues, they have to have diapers. And these may be small costs on a daily basis, but they mount up. And we did a overall estimate. And for per family, you're talking about, you know, even for some of the basic elements, you're talking about maybe starting from 600 to 700 per month to anything about 2,500 every month to be able to support a child. Because not only do they require diapers, medical attention, various interventions. They require walking aids, they might require special wheelchairs because of the back issues, they can't use normal wheelchairs. So it mounts, you know, and these costs can be very, very expensive. So part of our challenges are that, you know, we need to have sustainable, of course, funding to be able to take these things forward and assist people with the needs. But I think the other challenge is connecting, because, you know, there are the records, there are no specific records in the country in the medical side in terms of spina bifida. So the only way we can connect is people start to know that there are these facilities available and that that we have an organization which can help. It's quite interesting, when we did the conference in Kuantan, we had no previous connection with anybody with SP there. And because of that connection with that conference, we connected with the doctors. And at that conference, we had something like 30 families who turned up to come. We had altogether about 300 participants. So it was very well organized, very well supported event. But what we realized was that any of those families had no connection with anybody besides their doctors.
You were working in isolation.
Isolation, basically. And it was quite a tremendous meeting, because we finally felt, they felt that, you know, somebody was taking notice, and we were able to, you know, then make a connection. Many of them have joined the organization, and so we are now regularly, you know, providing support through our chapter, if you like, in Kuantan.
Okay, this leads me to my next question is, in terms of, you've been in existence for over 10 years now. What are some of the little anecdotal or little stories and narratives that you have that can demonstrate that there have been some successes?
Yeah, I think there are many. You know, actually, when we first started this connection with Sibium, you know, it was a very young organization at that time. There was no money, and so all we started to do was have family days. You know, so we managed to contact the SP families, got them together, had some games, music, and, you know, just getting people together, and that was tremendous. Because, you know, just by connecting people and sharing experiences, it made such a difference to many people's lives, you know. And then, of course, since then, we have been a bit more organized. We've had some very successful fundraising events. And, you know, we've been able to do a lot more. Now we are able to help people who are in real need, sometimes with, you know, maybe buying a wheelchair or getting the right, walking aid, and more importantly, being able to connect people to the right doctors. Now we have a panel of doctors who are working with us. In fact, we have them listed in our website, ICBM website. You know, just getting the right doctors to see the patients has been very important. And of course, in Klang Valley, we are quite fortunate. Dr. Amara runs a multidisciplinary clinic, for example. People, when they go there, they can see several doctors at the same time, and rehab physicians and so on. But that doesn't exist everywhere. So that's another big challenge, I think, you know, which needs to be addressed. We need to have multidisciplinary care for somebody with SP, because otherwise they have to come for many different interventions, and, you know, the cost of coming in and the time and trying to get all of this done with this, and, you know, at different occasions and so on, is very taxing on the families.
So this leads me to my final question, in terms of, where do you see spina bifida moving in the next 10 years?
Yeah, it's actually the connection we've made with the International Federation has been very useful. We attended a conference last year in Delhi, there are many things which, many experiences around the world which we can bring to bear. SB is a big problem also in India, for example, and, you know, they have many, many similar issues. So I think the thing we need to start looking at is really one of the key issues with spina bifida is that is to do with what do you call supplementation of foods, because there's been quite a lot of research and evidence to show that women who are at the early stages of pregnancy, particularly the first 3 months, and but at least 2 months prior to pregnancy, if they have taken adequate amounts of folic acid, the incidence of SB and a neural tube defect is reduced by 70%. It's not fully overcome, but it's a very important aspect. And folic acid is a very simple vitamin, very cheap vitamin to supplement. But the problem is that we need to make sure that it's taken before pregnancy and during pregnancy. So this is something you cannot predict when you become pregnant, and you know. So if we can fortify our foods, our staple foods like our rice and so on, that will make a huge difference. Rice flour, and this has happened elsewhere in the Nordic countries, for example, they've done this, and the incidence of neural tube defects has just plummeted. So similarly, I think this is a big challenge we need to look at, and I think something which CBM needs to take up, and I think it has to be a national effort. You know, it has to have a political, you know, a national effort to make sure that this happens, so that, you know, we get away from, we have a prevention plan in place. Of course, it doesn't, it'll never fully, we'll never fully overcome the problem, but at least then, you know, you're dealing with a much smaller issue. But that's something I think which we should really take up in the immediate future.
Well, thank you very much, Kriban. Just some final words, perhaps you'd like to share your website and your number.
Yes, we have the CBM website is www.cbiam.my. We have a number which we are using, which can connect with our admin. It's 012-690-3390, and we also have an email. It's just info@cbiam.my.
Thank you very much. I think it's definitely an awareness element for a lot of people who are listening to this program. Much appreciated, Kriban, for sharing with us all what you had to say early on.
Thank you.
So with that, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening in. Those of you who are interested in listening to the other podcasts, please join us on www.ifirstinternational.com.